Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Touchdown!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You like that?
Are you ready?
You like that?
I'll repeat it again here. If you're new to these parts, where the hell have you been? And I'll tell it to you again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah. Earlier on the show, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Coming up, Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. From the new ABC drama Big Sky, actor Ryan Phillippe. Plus, Olympic gold medalist skier Lindsey Vonn. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, I'm pouring some coffee into my Rich Eisen Show mug. You can get it at richeisenstore.com. The kickoff hour number two.
I mean,
literally, I've got honestly, I've got 2 minutes in the commercial break at the
top. I know,
top
we
of
don't have
hours,
6 minutes
whatever.
Anymore. No.
Right, I mean, yeah. So I got 2 minutes between the end of hour one and hour two right here on a Peacock stream and also Sirius XM and our radio terrestrial radio network with Mightier 1090 being our flagship station here in Southern California. So I gotta brew it up and here I am. Look at it. Can you see the steam? Look at the steam.
There's
it's
always
a
race
smoking cup of Joe
to brew back there. Well, I mean, Brock was making tea and you're making coffee.
But I've got the
Rich has the pole
the
position.
Way. It's like I arrived at the stop sign first and everybody has to.
If he's going, then I'll wait till the next break. It's not a big deal.
And we also don't have anyone that can like do that stuff for us anymore.
No, you gotta touch it yourself. I mean it's like
what does that mean?
Well, I meant before, well, to explain to the people, we used to, before COVID, we had a staff of 18 people in this studio.
To make, right? But I don't want anybody out there thinking that I had somebody make coffee for me.
Not the point. The point.
I have never told a single human being in my life, make some coffee for me.
Make my coffee.
Well, had you not even my own wife.
Had you let me finish, I would have got to that point, you know? But you didn't. See, before when we had 18 people in here, it could have been easier if we only had 2 minutes to say, hey, let me grab this for you. But now we don't. We have to do multiple things. That's all I'm saying. So,
okay. I don't know. I get touchy about it. I don't want to ever be shunned as a diva.
Cow.
I don't
ever be I'm more so speaking to the fact that, you know, we're so condensed, we've got to do multiple jobs.
Yes.
By the way, I ask Adam in the back to make my coffee all the time. I have no problem.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
Adam, our call screener?
Sometimes.
I can't get up.
Adam, our call screener, wants in on the Bears on the show.
Yeah,
we've been together for many, many years.
Yeah,
He's never asked, can I come vent? He wants to vent about the Bears.
He said last night might have been the worst thing he's ever seen with the Bears.
Oh. And as I was brewing my coffee, by the way, it's not like I'm like Juan Valdez with the beans back there where I picked them and I by the way, that's an old which coffee was Juan Valdez?
Oh my God, I'm looking right
picked
at
the
it.
Beans. Look that one
Hold
up.
On.
Look
at Columbia House.
Yeah, something. Anyway, so as I'm getting the coffee together, he's sitting back there. And by the way, 844-204 Rich, if you want to talk to Adam, give
he's
him.
He's got
some
his
love.
Own brand now. The guy stepped it up.
So
yeah, that's true. Juan Valdez is its own brand.
It's its own brand.
Oh, whatever.
It was Columbia. Though.
It was Columbia.
Yeah. Okay,
was
so I said, I'm like, did I give voice to Bears fans at the beginning of the show where I said that I barely didn't make the show today because I had all of my teeth pulled. That I'm sorry, that was like watching the Bears offense, and I kind of went all in, if you will. It's low hanging fruit now, anyway. I asked him, did he give full voice? He kind of said I didn't. That it was that painful for him as a Bears fan to watch. He's still 5-5. You could be 0-9, Adam. You could be 0-9. You could be 0-9.
Yeah, but you want to be 0-9.
Now I want to be 0-16.
Yeah,
I don't want to be. No,
you don't want that, man.
I don't want to be 0-9. Let me. Can I have a moment for myself here?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you very much. I have a moment for myself here. Okay. Do I want the Jets to be 0-9? I do not. I do not want the Jets to be 0-9. I thought Sam Darnold was the guy. Charlie Yook, the king of spring, the guy who's in charge of all of the spring programs on NFL Network, all the spring events, our combine coverage, draft coverage. He got me a shirt that said, not the same darn old Jets. I wear it with pride.
Yeah.
Actually, I wore it in London last year. 1 year ago today, I think I Instagrammed me taking my photograph of me and my, it's not the same darn old Jets. I love the Jets. I thought Sam was the guy. I want Sam to be the guy. Not when Trevor Lawrence is sitting out there. Now that we're 0-9, we got to complete the job.
Well, yeah.
Got to complete the job. You don't lose nine games and get this far and this close. You're this far in the season. You're also that close. And you got the Jaguars on your heels. Coming close to winning games in a way that the Jets haven't even come close. The Jets came close once against the Patriots. I don't want that to be a trend. You're this close. You know you're not going to keep the coach. Finish the job. But I don't want to be 0-9 saying this stuff about my team on national television, getting a stuffed animal placed at my position on NFL game day morning called Chump the Dog. Do I want that? My emotional support stuffed animal because my Jets are 0-9, call it Chump. Do I want that? Of course not. I don't want that. You know, I'm all about the content, good content, and doing things in good fun because I got to be able to take it as much as I give it. I don't want to have Chump the Dog 0-9. I don't want that. And then on top of it, I got to own every Michigan loss like I'm in charge. But that comes part and parcel with putting your school colors on your sleeve and pounding the table for the Michigan Wolverines. We're a 6-year-old show.
You become the face of Michigan football.
Excuse me. We were born, right? And then, 6 years ago. Uh-huh. And what was the main topic I pounded the table for when the Rich Eisen show started 6 years ago?
Harbaugh should be the Michigan coach.
And everyone was telling me I'm crazy. Steve Hutchinson came on and said I was crazy.
Everyone.
You're crazy.
Everyone.
Even, you know, Steve Bornstein, who was running NFL Network at the time, my boss, who's smart enough to have hired me twice at ESPN and NFL Network, he was saying, Rich, buddy boy, you got to stop talking about that. I mean, you're embarrassing yourself.
That worked out.
So I know I've got to own it.
Did it?
My team's 1-3. That's all. Is your guy, what's the answer? Is your guy going to get fired? Is Michigan going to have to divorce from their favorite son? Is that what's going to happen? I mean, and watching that game against Wisconsin?
I didn't even bring it up yesterday out of respect.
And I appreciate that because what's to say? There's nothing to say.
Well, let's cut some jobs
here. Do I want to get texts from Big Cat during the game saying he even feels bad for me? I got a text from J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I'm dropping names because it makes me feel better.
Yeah. Did you run 41 marathons?
Like Greg Sankey said in the first hour? No, seriously. Do I want this? Of course not. This is the worst football season of my life. I'm a 51-year-old man.
True,
when the Jets been 0-9? I started following Michigan football when I got into the school in 1986, when Harbaugh was the quarterback, beating Ohio State after saying we're going to do it, and then going and losing in the Rose Bowl. But the best part about that is they lost to Arizona State. And the head coach at Arizona State at the time was John Cooper, and Ohio State said, let's get somebody who can beat Michigan. And then we beat him like a drum. Yes, millennials, there used to be a time that happened with Michigan. And I'm watching that game. I'm thinking, Wisconsin hasn't played in 3 weeks, and this is the result. What is Ohio State going to do to us in December? I can't even think about it. Okay? So this is not what I want. Worst football season of my life right now.
Yeah, in 2008, Michigan was 3-9, but the Jets went 9-7.
Yeah, but in 2008, Michigan wasn't coached by one of my favorite humans on the planet.
No, that's true. It was Rich Rodriguez.
It was easy to say Rich Rod and Tate Forcier is not the answer. This one, and that's why everybody's so gleeful from Wisconsin and Ohio State. At least Penn State is worse than the crappers, so I don't have to hear it from them.
Yeah, they stink.
Got nothing to say.
Is ABC going to flex out of that Michigan-Penn State Saturday night game, or are they going to put that in front of the whole country to see?
With, like, the cardboard whiteout?
So,
Tate Forcier was good for a second.
He made some nice plays.
Yeah, he
was. All right, Rich, 2014.
He was like the Kevin Moss of Michigan football.
Good one.
Where if he flashed and we thought, maybe this is the answer, and then it wasn't the answer.
2014 was your worst year. Michigan was 5-7, and the Jets were 4-12.
Dude, that to me right now is, I'd sign for it. But actually, I wouldn't, because now I'm in a position with the Jets. They got to go 0-16. They can't afford to win a game.
No, because Jacksonville's not going
to win. The best chance to get the best coach possible is hinges on Trevor Lawrence. If Trevor Lawrence isn't walking through that door, what coach is going to be raising their hand saying, I got to go be Woody Johnson's next employee? I mean, seriously. And the problem is, it's hurtful because I love Sam Darnold, and I want to come on a show and say Sam should be gone. In the same way, I don't want to sit here and come on a show and say Jim Harbaugh should be gone. It stinks.
Chris will say it for you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Okay.
But you know I didn't yesterday. I didn't bring it up.
Out of respect.
Out of respect. Carried my groceries.
Out of respect.
Out of respect. You ready for four downs over there on the Rich Eisen Show?
Yeah, I've been waiting all
week.
Let's
go to four downs here on the Rich Eisen Show. Here we go.
Hut! Hut!
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go. Why did he stop?
And my first down here post week 10, 2020, does involve the NFL draft. And let's check on everything going on with draft choices. And I'm not just saying at the top of the draft with the Jets being 0-9 and the Jaguars right behind them. And it's not just that. With each passing week, all of a sudden, due to the Jamal Adams trade, right now they would be picking first and 21st overall. The Jacksonville Jaguars also have a second draft choice this year. It belongs to the Rams in the Jalen Ramsey trade. Unfortunately for them, that's getting worse with each passing day. And guess who's got everything set up? Because they have a chance to not only win their division and make a run in the playoffs, and not only clearly have a wunderkind quarterback who the rest of the country is fascinated with, but also gets a draft choice to the Houston Texans that improves with each passing week. But the Miami Dolphins, currently on the clock right now, based on everything that's going on, sixth overall is what Houston currently has them. Sixth overall. And then their own draft choice, which currently ranks 22nd. Can you imagine Miami wins the division and they pick 6th and 22nd, or even better? And then there's this last point to make on this race for the number one overall pick.
Wow.
The most inexplicable and potential impactful win of the season might be Jacksonville's week one win over Indianapolis. That happened.
How did that
happen? The Jaguars have lost every game since. Phillip Rivers threw an interception in the fourth quarter of that game that set up Gardner Minshew for a short field touchdown. They took the lead, didn't relinquish it. And let's just say the Titans win that division by a game. And let's just say Jacksonville doesn't get Trevor Lawrence because the Jets don't win a game. That week one game. When Jacksonville's like, hey, Minshew Mania, maybe this could be it.
Unreal.
That just grows more and more wild and impactful with each passing week. Let's go to second down.
Second down.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. We've seen it a handful of times. We did see a flag last night that didn't get thrown for helmet-to-helmet contact, and it was a proper call. But it's so often that you see referees in a bang-bang play based on the fact that they are the first line of defense for player safety in real time. And they take that job rightfully correctly and rightfully so. But let's review personal foul penalties. Every last one of them. And that does include ones that you think that should be called that wasn't. We did see last night, I think Nick Foles was taken down by or Dalvin Cook was taken down by the inside of his helmet. Let's do it. Let's do it, because I understand that that would be the unintended consequence of saying helmet-to-helmet calls on the field, let's review them and pick a flag up. That would mean that something that doesn't get called should get reviewed, and that would stop a game, and it would be something that you could call, with one of your own coaches' challenges. You could sit here and say, do I want to use it now? Do I not? Is it clear and indisputable evidence on review that 15 yards, what would it mean? Sometimes a 15-yard penalty is just as important as a toe being in on the sideline. That can change momentum. And we also get it right. And it makes it easier for the referees to not have to err on the side of caution by saying, well, that was towards the head and chest area and the neck area, and it wasn't. Let's make this reviewable. That's second down. Let's get to third down.
Third down.
Hey, man, I don't mean to pile on, but things are going well enough for Giants fans right now, having won two in a row. But the Giants could be running away with the NFC East right now.
Danny Wheels.
They could be running away with the NFC East. The first game was dreadful against Pittsburgh. We all remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then the week two game, they lose Saquon Barkley. And yet, Daniel Jones had two shots to win it from inside the 15-yard line of the Bears and couldn't connect. Week three, they got blown out by the 49ers. But week four, remember they came out here to Los Angeles and they held the Rams to just 17 points? And Danny Dimes had a chance with 52 seconds to go and got intercepted to try and tie that game. And then in week five, that was the game in which Dak broke his leg. Cowboys were up by three in the fourth quarter. And then Andy Dalton led the Cowboys to two field goals in the last 2 minutes to win that game. It's also the last time the Cowboys won. Then the Giants got a nice little gift when Riverboat Ron went for two at the end of a game that they could have won or kicked an extra point to go in overtime. They lose at Philadelphia in a Thursday night game that if Evan Ingram catches a pass, they would win. Tampa, they had dead to rights. They had the game tied up if they had gotten a good throw by Danny Dimes. And then they've won the last two games. Let's flip the Tampa loss to a win, flip the Philly loss to a win, and flip the Dallas Cowboy loss to a win, and the Rams loss to a win. All those games that you could win. You want to just go for it and flip the Chicago Bears loss to a win in the same way that the Steelers, prior to this week, had three straight wins where the opponent had a chance to win with no time left. Giants would be running away with this division, and we'd be talking about Joe Judge as coach of the year. Fact. Ooh. Well, I mean, when a New York City coach does what Joe Judge would be doing with all those wins.
That's true.
I know it's ifs and buts being candies and nuts.
I still think the Giants win that division.
They could.
I still think
they're on
they
a bye week as Philadelphia goes to Cleveland, a game that they could absolutely lose. And Dallas could win it too, but the Giants could be running away with it right now. They could be 7-3 if some of the balls bounce their way that I just described.
You're right.
Fourth down.
That would be incredible.
Fourth down.
That's almost a hot take in itself, Mike. Saying the Giants could be 7-3, let's go to the masked up plank and check out what Rich has this week.
Thank you, sir, for the tap dancing while I stand up and go get the mask. A hot take plank. I clutch this when I allow myself to go and get a hot take for the.
You're not social distance, but we'll
it's all good.
Mask.
Yeah,
you're
well, the plank is an inanimate object. We're just,
of course,
using this for entertainment purposes only.
Obviously.
Okay. Florio and I were talking yesterday about the Steelers, right?
Yep.
And it dawned on me in the middle of that conversation, and it dawned on him as well. The Steelers. Currently at 9-0.
Oh my gosh, you're really doing this?
No.
And you look at their schedule.
Oh baby.
I'm gonna just go all in.
All right.
The Steelers are gonna go 16-0.
Oh wow.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win their last seven games and go 16-0. The Pittsburgh Steelers are at Jacksonville this week, right?
Then 16-0, man.
Thank you. They're home for Baltimore on Thanksgiving night.
Okay.
They're home for Washington.
Yep.
Now then.
There you go. At Buffalo, baby.
At Buffalo is a Sunday night football game.
Oh, mama.
In front of the whole country. And as you know, you could draw a straight line between Buffalo and Pittsburgh. It's a regional battle.
Yep.
That hopefully will become an annual rivalry because these teams are good. If you remember, Jim Kelly, his Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony, it was an overflow crowd because everyone came from Buffalo and Pittsburgh, where he's from, to go to Ohio. That one concerns me, and so does, obviously, anytime at Cincinnati, you throw the records out.
Indy, too, man.
Indy at home and at Cleveland. The last four will be a bumpy ride, but I'm going to say the turbulence eventually will smooth out. And Big Ben and the Steelers are going to be a perfect one seed going into the playoffs.
Wow.
16-0, man.
That's my four downs.
That is scorching.
I mean,
woo. Hashtag here we go.
It's possible, isn't it?
I mean, anything's possible.
Hashtag here we go. Let us take a break. Our friend Ryan Phillippe will be joining us. The reason why the Giants could be running away with it is because his Philadelphia Eagles, kind of stinking on ice. So we'll talk about the new show Big Sky and the Eagles with Ryan Phillippe when we come back.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Back here on Peacock. By the way, Ryan Phillippe is going to join us at the top of next hour. I've been misfiring on that all morning. Not perfect. Not like the Steelers are going to be by the end of the year.
Rich.
NBC Sports on Peacock, streaming right now, every day. After Dan, taking it to the two Michaels, Smith and Holly, and Brother from Another. You know, I literally was thinking that just with Florio yesterday. Maybe the Steelers can go 16-0. Boy, and I also thought to myself, what a fun way to front load that conversation for the rest of the year and look like Nostradamus with my fourth down.
Chiefs Steelers AFC Championship. I mean,
watch Jacksonville get him this week.
Ooh, yeah, Chiefs have to go to Pittsburgh.
I would pay for that in a second.
May happen. Because as you know, and the football gods might make that happen because they don't play each other during the regular season.
Ooh.
Back here on our radio network here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's talking about how the Chiefs don't play the Steelers in the regular season. I mean, the Steelers play the Ravens. Steelers play the Titans, right? The Steelers are playing Buffalo. Okay. The Steelers are playing Cleveland. Steelers are not playing Pittsburgh, are not playing Vegas. But pretty much everything else we will see before our regular season eyes, except for Kansas City.
Oof.
And if you want the Chiefs to have the toughest road, because if you think, regardless of the fact that Pittsburgh is undefeated and thus the best team, if you think the Chiefs still are the best team in the AFC, that's the best way to test it out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Send them to Pittsburgh and see how that one goes. Try that one on for size. And send T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree towards the patrol.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I am shocked. Well, two things. I'm shocked that you haven't tried to throw this on to Tua. And does Tua need a nickname? Or is Tua good enough?
I think Tua's, you know, when somebody's known as...
With one name.
One name.
Right.
Yeah, you can't really...
I guess Jordan got the nickname of Air because of his shoes, but nobody ever said, hey, Air's playing tonight. It was Michael.
Yeah,
right.
Tiger doesn't have a nickname. When players are that good, right, you know, you're known by just your first
name. Kobe went by Mamba, too, but Kobe also worked. Like
well,
Kobe,
you remember
I got to watch Kobe tonight.
New friend of the program, Joe Tessitore, kept calling Mahomes Showtime. Because that's what his dad called him when he was a kid.
Right.
That was summarily rejected by the audience.
It was. It didn't really stick.
And so it's kind of like Mahomes. That's how
Mahomes.
You refer to him, right? But the Patrol, I'm not going to give up. And what I call him, the Tuatural? Is that what I would call him?
Well, that's what I mean. I just assumed you were going to try to, because everyone
else. It
can't
be the Tatcheral.
But everyone else has rejected it, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Matt Ryan's rejected. Matt Stafford rejected. Patrick Mahomes rejected. I just figured you were going to try to throw it on to the next young up-and-comer.
Well.
What about Trevor Lawrence? You're going to try to do it on him?
Trevatural?
Yeah, Trevatural. Yeah.
The Law-atural?
Just something. I'm just front-loading.
No, he's just going to be Trevor. Because he's going to be that good. And he's going to be a New York media star.
Oh.
But no, he doesn't want any part of that.
Will he cut his hair?
Because the Jets are so dysfunctional.
He's got to cut his hair.
Hell no.
No?
He better not.
It's like Samson?
Exactly.
Samson.
Can you read the Come on. Cut that hair?
No.
Go to New York? What are you, crazy? I want him just the way he is. He's perfect just the way he is.
Here's my question. When's the first fire mink coat ad that they put in?
Exactly.
I mean, it'd be
Broadway Joe and Broadway Trevor next to each other. Put him in a mink coat next to name it. But no. Hold out for Jacksonville. Definitely. Why would he want to do that? Because the Jets are so dysfunctional. No, let him sit out a year because the Jets are so dysfunctional. What a bunch of crap.
It's true.
I'm telling you, coaches will fall all over themselves for this kid. They will flock to Woody Johnson's office. He won't even have to hire Corn Ferry to tell him who to hire. They will come out of the corn and
corn
the ferry.
It'll be like Field of Dreams.
Honestly, the headhunting firm Corn Ferry. What a total racket, man. Hey, listen, we'll tell you who to hire. You don't need to kick any rocks over or call anybody that you know in the league about who might be good and who's not. Hire somebody to tell you that. Don't listen to anybody that you've come across in league circles. We'll handle putting a list together for you. They will come out of the corn and the ferry if Trevor Lawrence is coming. All right. I honestly didn't think I'd be talking about
we
this
We should
today.
Start like the Rich Eisen show.
We're in charge.
Consulting firm,
yeah.
You know, we'll, for
we'll
stuff like
you.
This.
We'll help you.
Yeah. RES Consulting.
RES Consulting. Yes. Yes. We'll also tell you who not to hire.
Exactly.
That's how we do it.
More important.
It's called process of elimination.
Right.
We'll tell you who not to hire, and we'll tell you who you want.
We'll come up with the list.
Blank check, David Shaw. David Shaw. Blank check.
Blank check.
Here's a blank check, David. Here's my name on it. I'll write Woody Johnson on it. It's a blank check. You fill in the amount.
Let's go to work.
And that's Trevor Lawrence.
Draft Trevor Lawrence. Right. Exactly. First order of business.
Before we get to our news, the poll question we have yet to hit today on our simulcast. We've only talked about it on Peacock. So let's introduce it to our radio audience, too, Christopher. Go for it, please.
Okay, it's Martin Scorsese, Rich. You've heard of him, right?
I have.
78th birthday today for Marty. What's the best? So we've done this in the past. We've talked about the best Marty movie in the past. Let's go best Martin Scorsese movie this century. So 2000 on. Gangs of New York, Aviator, The Departed, Wolf of Wall Street. Everyone had a joke on Twitter. The one with DiCaprio was pretty good.
That's the one with DiCaprio.
That's all of them. Best Martin Scorsese movie this century.
I've only seen Wolf of Wall Street once, by the way.
Oh, baby.
I have not seen it back yet.
It's just as good.
It's probably better, right? Second, fourth, eighth, twelfth.
It's just as good.
I
got
to put the kids to bed on that one.
The problem is it's a little long. It's in the 2.5 range and a lot of cursing. So it's probably not kid friendly.
The Departed is winning this poll, right? I voted for Wolf of Wall Street.
So did I, actually.
I'm a Departed guy.
So Wolf of Wall Street is at 32%. That's running second. The Departed, 49%. Gangs of New York, also an amazing movie, 16%. Milk for the Aviator right now, 2.5.
Milk. Do you know, I mean, Mark Wahlberg and Alec Baldwin in The Departed.
I think they were both nominated, I believe. Mark Wahlberg was for sure.
I thought Alec Baldwin was nominated too. Martin Sheen. That movie was a cast.
So good.
And then Jack. I mean, Matt Damon. Holy cow, what a cast.
The Departed won 4 Oscars.
Well, I mean, The Departed is the only Oscar he's ever won.
Which is
Best Picture, Director,
and that's why The Departed means a lot to me, is that Scorsese actually won for The Departed.
Only Mark Wahlberg for a supporting
actor. Oh, I thought Alec Baldwin was nominated, too. He deserved it. He was so good. He chewed up every scene like it was Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Think about Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross, how he owned a scene that had Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Alan Arkin also in it.
So Glengarry, that scene is not in the play. That scene written specifically for the movie for Alec Baldwin.
How about that?
Amazing.
Pacino wasn't in that scene? Oh.
No. Pacino's out.
He's out on a call.
Oh, I guess so in a movie with him.
Yeah.
Because they miss
owned it. The steak knives. You know, owned
put
it.
That coffee down.
Always be closing. ABC. Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
Third place is you're fired.
I know. First place.
And then just staying on the Alec Baldwin for a moment, the amazing series Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee that Seinfeld has put out there. You have to see the Alec Baldwin episode.
He's done it multiple times.
Hilarious. Time, right? I mean, laugh out loud, hilarious. And then, of course, right here on Peacock, 30 Rock, some of his finest work as Jack Donaghy.
Jack Donaghy.
Some of his finest work, literally every scene. Every scene is laugh out loud hilarious that he's in.
Factual.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Let's get to our news update brought to you by my friend Chris Brockman.
Yeah.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over
there? Okay, so just an update here on Drew Brees. As we mentioned yesterday, had a bunch of cracked ribs and a collapsed lung. Ed Werder saying that Brees is getting a second medical opinion on the fractures, having his scans sent to other medical specialists to determine the full scope of the injuries and possibly how much time he could miss. The Saints might place him on injured reserve.
Which that would be 3 games.
He would miss at least 3 games. So if that's the case, could be Jameis Winston for the upcoming few weeks.
Yeah, Sean Payton did not. He rejected all conversation about, he said, I'm not going to talk about any injuries on his Zoom yesterday. Yeah. I'll be back in no time, says Brees. He's got the best medical team in the world.
Well, that's probably true, but the ribs still need time to heal.
And he's 41. Atlanta, Denver, Atlanta, next 3 games. Jameis should win all 3. Hey, man, Jameis Winston, look up some of his games against the Falcons. He has lit them up in the past.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Lit them up in the past. So Jameis knows the opponent. I mean, let's be honest. He knows Atlanta. He knows them very well. They know him well, but the last thing you want to do if you are having trouble breathing or can't take a full breath is play in Denver. I'll tell you that. So you won't see him for 3 games. They might as well IR him.
Yeah, I don't see what the harm is there. Brees did say, Rich, in that post about the best medical team that he's got. It was his 3 kids taking care of him.
Oh, is that that?
So I think he was.
Okay. I just read the headline.
Yeah,
I love
it. He was kind of having
a little TLC.
Having a little fun.
Little
there.
TLC,
yeah,
everybody.
Really cute photo.
Well, daddy's not going to be able to pick them up for a while.
Right. A couple of COVID news. The Giants put Graham Gano on the COVID-19 list, their kicker, and the Browns reopened their facility today after shutting down yesterday.
Well, the good news about Gano being the COVID positive individual, and I hope he is well, is that there are no close contacts for kickers because nobody wants to hang out with them.
No one wants to be around them.
Honestly, it's an embarrassment if you're, hey, guess what? You're a close contact to the kicker. You don't want to be that guy sat because you've been hanging out with the kicker, and it's obvious to everyone. That's why the close contacts are coaches who have been sat down.
Right. The Giants.
And I say that with love. I can say these things, you know.
The Giants have a bye this week.
In the same way that I can make a joke about Jewish people, I can make jokes about kickers. Because it's established, I'm not one of them, but I have love for them, and I hope Gano as well. What else, sir?
All right, we talked to Bruce Arians last hour about Tom Brady. You know, Bruce has been kind of critical of Tom in the media, which is interesting. We're not used to that, but he did talk about Tom and getting comfortable in his new system.
My colleague Kurt Warner looks at the tape, looks at the film of your offense, and says Brady still doesn't look completely comfortable. Would you agree with an assessment like that, Coach?
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, each and every week, it's a learning experience of what Byron and I know, what he knows, and meshing them all together against a new opponent every single week. We're finally starting to have the same players out there with him. As far as receivers, we had a little bit of different offensive line this week for the first time, but it's been a learning experience, and it is every week. You know, having no offseason, no preseason games and all that really set us back.
So I think he joked next spring, right? I said, when are you going to be – or was he serious next spring?
I don't know. I mean, Tom's under contract, so he'll be there next year.
I hear you.
You know?
I hear you.
Interesting.
But he said that the thing that he's learned about Tom is he's great with the young guys. And that he'll tell somebody, something and four or five times, it'll take them four or five times to actually do it
right.
or listen to the coach. Right. But Brady says it once and they do it right away.
Yeah, because if they don't do it, Tom's not throwing them the football.
I guess so. But you'll find out soon enough when Cage doesn't listen to you.
Oh, I'm
and you're
sorry,
the parent, and he won't. And no, honestly, he won't listen to you. And then you'll say, "Don't do this," because that's the reason why you shouldn't do it.
Right.
And then he comes to you and he says, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that because my friend says not to." And you'll be like, "What have I been telling you?" Yeah, well, I won't listen to you, yeah. but my friend says so. I'll do it. That's exactly what it is.
That is so annoying. How do you deal with that?
Oh, gosh.
I'm already annoyed, and it hasn't even happened yet.
It's amazing that I still have the best dad ever sign right here. Sometimes you can lose your patience. Yeah. You can lose your patience.
I believe
but right
that.
Now, it's just you're just getting up to speed. Literally, your son is actually beginning to crawl.
He's finally going forward.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's wait till he starts getting mobile. You
while.
Are going to be finding certain parts of your hamstring that you didn't know that you could pull by chasing after him. All good, man. What else you got over
okay,
there,
Chris? Okay, fun. We talked to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey last hour as well. Rich, you've been hot on the expansion for the college football
yes.
playoff, and he told us if that has been discussed among league commissioners.
So basically, it's going to be four teams, and if you could play it by the date that you can play it, that's it. There's not going to be any changes to anything else. Just get to that finish line the way that you've planned it.
Yeah, that's
basically it.
Yeah, sure, that's clearly our direction now, but as I acknowledged earlier, you can see debate around those dates that will likely be introduced. We've had a prior conversation about the potential for expansion among the involved commissioners and Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame's part of the management committee, and agreed that four provides us the best opportunity to name a national champion in this environment.
Sankey was great, man. I'll tell you, it was a great chat with him.
Yeah, very honest.
But I don't want the, you know, I also asked him, you know, what happens if certain teams come in to the college football playoffs with only five, six games on their resume and saying, I want in? And he basically said, well, you know, you just leave it up to the committee that they have to understand that they have to take it into account.
Take into consideration.
Somebody's played 12 games. Somebody else has played six games. I'll tell you what, man. Wisconsin takes on, I believe, Northwestern and Indiana the rest of the way. Those are the only currently ranked teams that they will take on. And then assume Ohio State in a game. I know Indiana's playing Ohio State this weekend, but let's just play it out, right? Wisconsin wins out. And Ohio State wins out. And they face each other. What if Wisconsin's only loss is to Ohio State?
Right.
And so what? A one-loss SEC team gets to go in over Wisconsin? Because Wisconsin doesn't have the full scope because Wisconsin's been ravaged by COVID?
Right. They're 6-1.
No, seriously.
Right.
That's why I'm saying open it up. I'm telling you this is going to be the conversation in December. And then you got teams like BYU and Cincinnati saying, what about us?
Yeah.
I'm telling you they should do this.
It seems like a no-brainer, but nothing with the NCAA is usually. All right, guys, NBA trades. We saw the first big one yesterday with Chris Paul going to Phoenix. Last night, Milwaukee making moves. Two big moves from Milwaukee. So they acquire Drew Holiday from New Orleans.
He's so good.
And Bogdanovich from Sacramento,
right,
are going to Milwaukee. Did give up a lot. So Milwaukee gave up Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first round picks. Also a pair of pick swaps to New Orleans.
Yep,
massive haul, kind of similar to what the Lakers gave up for Anthony Davis. And then the Bucks and Kings swap Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Irian Ilyasova.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Sacramento for Bogdanovich. So, if you're thinking about doing whatever it takes to keep Giannis in Milwaukee, they are getting him some all-stars to pair with him and Chris Middleton.
So, let me ask this question. There's two questions that are asked here. One is it enough? And two, how have they not already determined if it's enough? That's the two things I'm wondering right now. Have those questions been answered by anybody in our industry? The is it enough I'm seeing being discussed
is
everywhere.
Is it enough to what? Beat the Lakers?
No. Is it enough to keep Giannis? You even said that they're making a move to keep Giannis.
Well, that's right. Why else would they be doing this?
I get it. Why else would they be doing this is that they've already determined from Giannis it's enough.
Well, Giannis said, hey, get me some more pieces. And now they have four studs.
But that's been totally understood that the way things have been run there cannot be run back. That there has to be some form of improvement, change of scenery for some, determine who those people are and get them in. But you can't make these moves and be left with just those two guys and Chris Middleton if Giannis is going. You see what I'm saying? Like, how has that not already been determined? Shouldn't it be? Like, hey, Giannis, we're making these moves. Sign that Supermax. Or you're signing the Supermax? Great. We'll announce it at some point, but let's go make these moves now. Or are you just doing this and hoping that this is enough? What a risk, isn't it?
Definitely a risk.
Because Middleton, Bogdanovich, and Holiday, nice complimentary pieces to a superstar.
Absolutely.
Without the superstar, you got are complimentary pieces and no way to build with first-round picks through the draft.
Right. I would assume. Look, if you're Giannis.
And then who's playing bench? Is Aaron Rodgers going to be on the bench, you know, once he's done having his scotch?
I'm being
facetious.
But the Lopez brothers are still there.
They better keep him now. How do you make these moves in hopes of, as opposed to in celebration of?
Also, if you're Giannis, if you don't sign the Supermax, you're giving up like $70 million.
So I know the idea is he signs it, but just, you know,
so you
what,
sign
for
it,
one
see
year.
How the year goes, and then if it stinks, you demand a trade like James Harden.
But why would Milwaukee go for something like that?
Well, you don't know how he's going to feel in a year from now.
I don't know, man. This is crazy.
I think Houston honestly thought James Harden was going to demand a trade to Brooklyn?
I was honestly sitting there last night refreshing my Twitter feed to see the next Woj bomb that Giannis has signed to Supermax.
Yeah.
That this was just the moves, and then boom, the crowning achievement. There, that's it. You made it to the back of the checkerboard. We have kinged you. Literally with a Sacramento king and a pelican. Boom.
Right. So just checking.
I was waiting for that. They make this move. Yeah. They made that move. And now here's the ultimate move. Where's the ultimate move?
Yeah, just checked Woj and Shams. No move
Where's
yet.
The ultimate move?
No signing yet. A lot of guys
out. Or are they
out.
Just basically just assuming it's coming? That's it. And if the Warriors want him, this is the time to do it, right? Or you make all of these moves and then you get this the second overall pick tomorrow night. Now.
Right.
Is that coming? Is that happening? What's happening?
That would be.
What the hell is going on?
That would be insane. You make all these moves, you give up all your first round picks. And then you trade the guy anyway?
Right.
I can't see that happening.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll hit your phone calls and also our poll question on the great Martin Scorsese. That's coming up before Ryan Phillippe and Lindsey Vonn join us in our final hour.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Back here on our Peacock stream, Daniel Day-Lewis and Gangs of New York. Bill the Butcher, man. He was great.
Butcher!
He's great as Bill the Butcher. That Wolf of Wall Street, The Departed, and The Aviator. The Aviator's getting no love. By the way, another Alec Baldwin.
He's great.
The Aviator's a great movie, man.
The Aviator's an excellent movie.
Excellent movie.
Did you ever read the book Citizen Hughes? If you're ever interested in Howard Hughes, if you are truly interested in Howard Hughes.
He was.
It's a book about Howard Hughes. It is a biography. Citizen Hughes is truly one of the most remarkable books I've ever read. I have it in my office, on my bookshelf, not only because I love the book, but it makes me look smarter on Zooms.
Nice.
You know?
He owned, like, all this land at one point.
Howard Hughes owned everything.
Yeah, he owned, like, everything here.
And then he
became
then he became a recluse living at the top of Vegas. Hotel? Yeah.
He never left. He stayed in his room for like months. It's crazy.
That movie's awesome.
Right. So we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Flamingo. The Desert Inn, El Rancho, and the Flamingo.
Yeah, we're talking about Howard Hughes as the Aviator is one of the choices. But nobody's giving it any love now. The worst choices in our poll question. Martin Scorsese, best movie that he's made this century. Because we removed Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, and Goodfellas from the equation, right? Because we used this as a poll question when Goodfellas anniversary was last year, right? Didn't we do that? Like the best Scorsese movie?
Yeah, so in September when Goodfellas came out, we did this.
And it was 1 year anniversary. It was 1 year ago last week where I accosted him at the Chiltern Firehouse in London for my London game. And got a selfie with him.
Oh.
And that led to, by the way, you want to talk about content to this show, because I told the story about going up to him. He was at a table because the Irishman was just coming out and they were promoting it in London. They being him and Al Pacino and Scorsese were all at the same table and De Niro next to me.
Wow.
Pacino was there. It was De Niro, Pacino, Scorsese,
Harvey Keitel,
and Bruce Springsteen was in town.
That's right. Springsteen was with him.
And then out of all of them, I decided I was going to take, you only get one shot to go up to that table. One shot.
I would have done all of them.
To go up. No, you
Come
only
on
get
here.
One shot. Mike, you would have been removed from the place because there was security all over the place. And I took my one shot and I went up to Scorsese, told him I was from Staten Island and I thanked him for everything. I proved within 30 seconds that I was a fan, but a normal fan. Apologized to the lady that he was talking to. I apologized. I got in there. I'm like, look, I know you're eating. I know. I just have to do this. And I did it on the way back to my table from the men's room.
Susie was problematic.
Well, she was not. No, she was cool. Like, she knew I was. I had to do it. She knew I had to do it. But we even discussed, like, if you had a choice, who would you have gone up to at that table? If you had only one shot, and would you have chosen Bruce, Pacino, De Niro, or Scorsese? I chose Scorsese. That was part of our content, if you will, that came out of that.
Of course.
But the thing that Susie got very, she was not upset. She was embarrassed, as only wives can be of their husbands, is that when Scorsese got up to leave the restaurant.
That's when you made your move.
My move was to back my chair out and block him. And get up and say, would you mind taking this selfie?
Hey, man.
Which got...
Whatever it takes.
The member of his personal security.
Whatever it takes.
The member of the Chiltern Firehouse security. And a member of the wait staff. Three people jumped up to stop me from doing this. And because I had such a meaningful connection with Scorsese, he said, no, it's okay. Everybody backed off, snapped a selfie. I'm smiling. He is not. Don't care. I've got this.
I would have gone
for
him
forevermore.
Out of that group.
I almost said to him, I was cultivating this caper like the Lufthansa heist, but he was out.
It was quick, like, gone.
Because I just wanted to let him know I'm not nuts. I'm nuts for him, but I'm not crazy.
Right.
I'm still normal. Right. Please like me, Marty.
But you're a big fan.
Huge fan.
That's what I mean. Big fan.
Honestly.
Coppola and Scorsese are.
Pacino was.
De Palma.
Pacino, pardon me, you're right. Now that I'm recollecting, it wasn't Pacino. I think it was Harvey Keitel was there.
I think it
correct.
Was Harvey Keitel. That's what you said before.
I believe it was.
Wolf.
I forget. These things are, even though it's just one year.
I remember you saying it was Harvey Keitel.
Okay, so he and De Niro was in a banquet next to Bruce. I could have gotten two for one, but there was another human being I would have to have reached over. Scorsese was on the side of the table that my chair was. So it was easy geographically, and I would have chosen him anyway.
See, I have to say, Springsteen would be the bottom of my list in that one.
What?
That's surprising.
It's like he can't rank in front of. Though I want the Wolf. I want Keitel. He'd be like.
I don't even know how I would say to him.
So let me ask you guys, has there ever been a time you've been around someone and you really wish that you had taken a photo and you didn't? Like, who is that person?
All the time. I mean, I lose track. You've already got an example already?
You probably have so many, Rich. No, mine,
yes,
100%, was President Reagan and George Bush when I was driving around.
Liza Minnelli?
No. This was in New Jersey. After I was a cop, I drove around the speaker for like a couple weeks.
Which speaker?
The speaker of the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
The House.
Okay.
And they were at a hotel together. And I was right there.
So the president and Vice President Bush Sr.
together.
Oh my God.
Very rare does that happen. And I was right there.
Yeah,
and
but
I
this is back in the time when there were no phones or anything.
There was a photographer right there, and I could have literally had the picture. And that would have been cool to have.
You know what? For me, for me, it was at the Super Bowl in Houston. I'm hosting at game day morning, and this person comes out. Because they're singing they're doing the halftime act. And this person was somebody that Mike Del Tufo said he would take a selfie with.
The whole week you were talking that, Mike.
If I get my chance, I'm taking a selfie with her, and he didn't. And
because
I was too busy hosting a 9-hour live television show, I didn't get up and take. Well, wait a minute. I actually did get up and take the selfie with Lady Gaga. I actually did that.
Can I retort? I met her. When she rehearsed,
you didn't take your shot,
Mike. Didn't take the picture because
you're too professional.
I thought I was going to
not
have
too professional.
A field pass that day.
False.
And right. I did not get a field pass that Sunday.
Every
I would
word
have done it.
He sang in the last 60 seconds.
He's wrong.
It's false.
It's not.
Mike, you screwed up.
I
had your shot and you missed.
If you were strapped to a lie detector test right now, it would look like there was
100%
an earthquake of a 10 Richter scale right now.
I know the security guys that guard the half Timex, and so, they let me. You know I met her.
As opposed to just doing it right here with her at a rehearsal, I'll just be professional about
she
it because I know I'm
for the show. I mean, she doesn't want to do it then.
And then, you know, me posting it, and I saved it. That's another caper I cultivated. I saved it till we got back here.
No, I knew you had done amazing. It because I had I had inside information.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Stop it.
So I had inside information.
So great that I got that.
I knew once I saw Mooch post it.
Phenomenal.
Mooch posted it. I knew he had it.
Oh, great.
Stop it.
I got one today, though. You don't have.
What do you have?
Don, do you have that picture I sent?
Whoa.
Don, do you have that picture I sent? Our
Don actually may have a pic. Yeah.
Okay. Of what?
Here we go. Watch. See?
Watch.
I don't know if he has it. Let's see if he has it come up.
Well, Mike, the original question was someone you didn't take a picture with. Not who you guys did
true.
Take pictures with. But hey,
yeah, but I mean,
you know.
Hold on. I think we got it. Hold on.
Here we go. Watch this.
With Lindsey Vonn.
I'm a selfie.
Where was this?
Rams game on the field.
Okay.
First one, right?
Will she remember
first
this?
Game.
Will she remember this
not
next
a chance.
Down?
But I'm good like you. I don't bug them. I'm cool about it.
Okay.
I would have gotten Lady Gaga's. I got screwed by Fox on that Sunday.
By the way, that is the name of Mike's memoir. I got screwed by Fox.
On Houston Super Bowl.
Oh, that's the parentheses at the Houston Super Bowl.
I can just see that there was a production meeting by the bigger, higher-ups at Fox, and they said, you know what we're going to do today?
We're going to screw Mike Del Tufo.
And screw Mike Del Tufo.
Ryan Phillippe, radio audience, will be on when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.